Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Untitled Football Podcast. Now, today, this is one I'm really, really excited for, because today, me and the two gentlemen you see on the screen have been given the task to create a combined Premier League 11. Now, I think this will strike up some big debates. Obviously, as you can see, I'm joined by Sam and I'm joined by Adam. But to waste no more time, shall we get into the keepers debate, gentlemen? And Sam, do you want to give us your shout for keeper first?
So I had a choice of two goalkeepers. One was Van der Sar, but the other one, and the one I went for, was Petr Cech. 443 Premier League games, 4 Golden Gloves, 4 Premier League titles, and 202 clean sheets. I think that was possibly the easiest position to pick, in my opinion.
Well, yes. So I also agree, right? So I ummed and ahed with this position a couple of times because there was a rogue shout that I will mention in a second. But then also I did think, with the influence both of them have had in the Premier League over the last 5, 6, maybe 10 years, could you stick an Alisson or an Edison in there? I was building up a pretty strong case for one of the two, but then I thought, no, you know what, nostalgia should always win, and Petr Cech was an absolute monster. So Petr Cech went in my combined 11, and obviously we will come to Adam for his, but because there is two of us, I think that means he goes in the team. But just before I come to Adam, my rogue shout for the goalkeeping position was actually Liverpool's Pepe Reina. Now, this might surprise you, but like I just mentioned to Sam off camera, the reason I said this was Pepe Reina actually won 3 consecutive Golden Gloves back in the day. And that was behind a pretty poor and average Liverpool defence. It wasn't like the Liverpool defence nowadays. So I do think he's a little bit underrated in that regard, but it is Petr Cech for me. Ads, what about you?
Yeah, so I agree with both of you guys. I had Petr Cech as well. Most clean sheets in the Premier League, 202 clean sheets. A lot of Premier League titles won as well. I think you've got to give a mention to Peter Schmeichel as well, because you know he was an incredible goalkeeper. A lot of us, it depends on your age demographic, but you know he was very much pondered in the 90s, and a lot of, say, older listeners will definitely remember him and be shouting at the screens right now. So I think Peter Schmeichel deserves a mention, but I'd go for Petr Cech as well.
Amazing, amazing. Now, so Petr Cech's in, so congratulations, Petr. Now, right back for me, I was scraping the barrel and I don't know what that says about that position. But again, I think this is pretty easy. And for me, I think it's somebody that criminally underrates himself in the media every time I hear him speak. And that man is Gary Neville. You know, Gary Neville might not have had the pace and the passing that you see of a modern fullback nowadays, but you speak to some of the players that he come up against in his interviews and stuff, and he made it so crystal clear that you could never, ever get past Gary Neville. You know, he'd just throw himself at you, and that's what you want in it, in a team of winners. And there's no doubt in my mind that he won as much as he won with United because of his character and because he was just so prepared to put his body on the line every single time. So, yeah, G-Nev goes in at my right-back slot. Sam, what about yourself?
Yep, I've got G-Nev as well. 602 appearances for Manchester United, 8 Premier Leagues, 3 FA Cups, 2 League Cups, 2 Champions Leagues, and a FIFA Club World Cup. I mean, he couldn't probably win much more on a club level if he tried. So, yeah, I think G-Nev, consistency throughout his entire career. The only argument I had for right back is Trent, but I still don't think Trent is at that age to be considered an all-time Premier League great at the moment.
This is it. So I think he needs probably a couple more Premier League titles. I think Trent will go. I'll make a case for Trent to go maybe top 5 all-time right backs. like outside the Premier League, like in the game in general. I think he is that good, and I think he will become that good. But obviously, there's a lot of debate about his contract at the minute, so I don't know whether he's even going to stay in the Prem. You know, the Real Madrid will come calling, maybe potentially with the Carvajal injury. So I think it's fair putting Gary Neville in there, definitely. Ads, what have you got to say?
We promised to the listeners we didn't show our teams or say our teams beforehand, but I've also got Gary Neville as well. So this is going really well so far. I agree with the boys. Like he is an all-time great. Won 8 Premier League titles with Man United. The third most in Premier League history, only behind 2 players that we might mention later. We'll have to wait and see. The other player I was considering, and it might be a bit of a shock considering his form of late, but Kyle Walker, I think, deserves a shout as well, because he's won 6 Premier League titles. He's won 6 Premier League titles in Man City now. You know, he's gone through pretty much the whole Pep Guardiola era, and if we're talking about dominance in the Premier League as well. And yes, he's finding it tough right now, but I think prime Kyle Walker definitely deserves a shout as well. But I'd go with Neville as well.
Yeah, I understand the Walker shout, to be fair, because also people forget that Kyle Walker was very good for Spurs as well, you know, like he was very good when he was younger for Spurs. And look, he is up there, but I just think again, nostalgia probably rules my heart on this one. And especially considering you hear somebody like Gary Neville speak and he never ever gives himself credit. And I feel like it's down to other people to give him credit, even though he'll probably never listen to this. Granted, at least if you stumble upon this, Gary, you know that we've got your back. So goalkeeper and right back is slotted in. Now, centre half. So I'm going to go. I mean, it doesn't really matter in a dream fantasy team, does it? And I think these two players could play either side, to be honest, if we wanted to. So I think the way to do this is I will list both centre halves. And then if we both do both centre halves, and then hopefully we'll come to some sort of compromise. But my centre halves in my team would be John Terry and Virgil van Dijk.
I don't have
Van Dijk. I have John Terry. I don't have Van Dijk. I couldn't choose between them, either Rio Ferdinand,
yeah,
or Vincent Kompany.
Yes, I get that. I get the Kompany shout 100%. Absolute. Yeah.
One more as well.
You know, but. Just the reason why I put VVD in is because I think he, along with maybe, you know, them signing Sadio Mane as well, and obviously Salah coming in and doing what he did, but I think he completely revolutionised Klopp's Liverpool. And, you know, he is, we throw the sort of the saying Rolls Royce of a defender around a lot. But like, to me, Virgil van Dijk is just that. He is a Rolls Royce of a defender. You know, it was laughable a couple of years ago when he was having a little standards drop and people were like, oh, he's gone. You know, he's gone. He's done for. Like, he is probably the smoothest ball-playing centre-half I think I've ever seen in the Premier League anyway. I think he has a strong case in my team anyway. And obviously, if Adam's got him in his as well, I think he has to go in.
Yeah.
It's a weird one because I would have probably put 4 or 5 centre-halves above Van Dijk. I'd have probably gone Tony Adams, Vidic,
yep,
Sol Campbell, Ferdinand, Kompany, and Terry, and then Van Dijk.
I think it's the debate between, you know, nostalgia and like what you're seeing right now. And, you know, we can have the debate all day and all night about, you know, was the Premier League easier back then or harder? You know, in terms of the teams and the players that they were up against. But I have to echo like what Aaron said about Van Dijk. I think he's one of these players where he's just so complete as a centre back, and that's not, you know, disrespecting any of the other centre backs we've mentioned. But he's so complete. He wins tackles. He's so good on the ball. He's got the aerial threat, and he's kind of got like that aura about him as well, which I think you need as a centre back. And yes,
if I was in that Liverpool team, he's the type of character and captain that would make me want to run for a brick wall for him. Yeah. And he doesn't even give that sort of, he doesn't even have to give that sort of vibe off. Like, he doesn't scream that much on a football pitch, but you know that you want to work hard for Virgil van Dijk. And that's not me disputing Rio. I think Rio was wonderful, but I am very worried that if we don't throw a few modern names in here, it could just be, you know, a nostalgia team. And I do think there is a good few names from the modern game that deserve to be in this team, or at least deserve to have a discussion to be in this team.
Yeah, I agree.
So, are we agreed on JT and VVD then as the centre-half partnership? Is that locked in?
Yeah, I've been outvoted, so yeah, that's locked in.
Amazing, amazing. Well, not amazing for you, Sam, I'm sorry, but it's a democracy here at the deck, and this is what we do. Now, left-back to me should be rather simple. I'm hoping it is rather simple. And that is Mr. Ashley Cole for me.
Yeah.
I genuinely, I think there was a period for maybe 5, 6, even probably 7 years that he was probably the, well, people make the argument for him to be what the, you know, the best left back ever to play the game. And like, I could see it. I definitely think he was the best left back in the world for a good 5, 6 period. You know, he just had everything, didn't he? He had defensive awareness. He had the pace. He could cross the ball. You know, I just apart from, obviously, I know Adam will be a little bit salty with the Ashley Cole scenario and, you know, what he did to Arsenal. But from a football perspective, he was absolute dynamite.
I mean, 385 Premier League appearances, won it 3 times, 147 clean sheets in that time. I don't really remember Ashley Cole ever making a serious mistake either. He was just super consistent.
Yeah.
Obviously, was an integral part of the Invincibles team as well. So, yeah, I think that's a bit like the right-back situation, quite an obvious one to put in.
Yeah.
I'd argue, and I know you said it with the goalkeeper, so I'd argue he's the most, like, undebatable player in the team. I don't see a left-back that gets close to him, and that's, you know, coming from an Arsenal fan as well, even though, you know, he did wonders for us, but obviously he's maybe more remembered for his Chelsea days as well. A couple of mentions that I'd like to throw out there, probably Patrice Evra as well, Man United. Mm-hmm. Similar in terms of consistency. And Dennis Irwin as well, for more nostalgic people as well out there. Dennis Irwin, who's famously a right-footed left-back, and did very well for Man United. So
that one makes me smile as an Oldham fan, because not many people know, and I will take this moment to bring this up. We actually sold United Dennis Irwin. He was our player before he was a United player. And yeah, he was, well, I am acting like I was around back then, but I wasn't, but my dad was. And he always, you know, raves about him and raves how good of a player he was. But I just feel like Ashley Cole is the complete footballer in that position. Yeah. So moving on to midfield now, boys, I don't know what sort of formation we're running through in our heads, but I've got two like centre mids, if you would, to give you first.
Okay, I've got 3 centre midfielders.
Right, okay. And then we'll do the wingers separately, yeah? Or the wide midfielders, whichever way you want to look at it. So my two midfielders, which are in this team, would be Kevin De Bruyne and... So Kevin De Bruyne and Patrice Evra. Patrick Vieira.
I've got De Bruyne and I've got Vieira. And then I've added Lampard in there. I don't think I can have a Premier League great all-time midfield without Lampard in there.
So I'm guessing that means that you are Team Lampard over the age-old England debate of Lampard, Gerrard, Scholes.
Yep, 100%. I just think Lampard had more to his game than Gerrard, and he had more Premier League titles, obviously. So.
Yes, I feel like it's interesting, and obviously this isn't that debate, we could do another podcast on that, but just while we're on the topic, I do think they all offer very different things, but I think Lampard's pure sort of ability to always arrive in the box and always make himself an option, and his goal scoring record from, because he wasn't what you would brand as a modern day like centre attacking mid now either. So you know, he had to do it from a bit deeper, and I always think that would count for more. If we were to go at that debate just quickly, personally, this might shock a lot of people. I know he's probably won the most, but I would put Scholes at the bottom of the list, if I'm being honest. I think Gerrard, for me, just comes clutch just for them big game moments, you know. The Istanbul header, the leveler in the FA Cup final against West Ham, he was always there when Liverpool needed him the most, and for that I think he just edgy scores in that debate. But Scholes was a ridiculously technical midfielder and probably playing ahead of his time as well, I would say.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah, you've got something a little bit different.
No, and I promise that I haven't like seen Aaron's team, but I'm exactly the same as well. Vieira and De Bruyne. Obviously, as an Arsenal fan, it is easy to pick Patrick Vieira, but I think when you compare him to those sort of midfielders, he was a lot different. Like obviously, he was a lot more of a defensive player, but I think a lot of people don't give him credit for how good he was going forward as well. And his sort of big stride, he made big strides in midfield. He absolutely bullied midfielders off the ball, and he'd come up with goals and assists as well. And people don't often associate that with Patrick Vieira. And I think the biggest thing is always he was just a leader as well, big leader, big character on the pitch. So I've got to go Patrick Vieira as well. And I think Kevin De Bruyne, for the more modern day view, is sort of speaks itself. I was actually doing some research for this beforehand, and he's got the second most assists in Premier League history behind Ryan Giggs. And he's, in the last 10 seasons, he's come top of the assist charts 4 times. And that one of them was 20 as well, which is the joint with Thierry Henry. So I think De Bruyne, even though he's still playing, has to be in there as well.
And you know, De Bruyne is good as well, because for people maybe like me and Sam, we don't have a Premier League side, but every time I watch De Bruyne, it almost angers me how good he is, because like, I know that sounds weird, but it's like, he's like nobody else is at anywhere near his level on a football pitch, and he's almost like an alien. Like, I want City to get battered at every opportunity I can see them have, but with him on the pitch, you know he's going to create something out of nothing. And you know, and I think what was it last season or maybe the treble season, but that link up, that I know it's only a short period, but that link up that he's forged previously with Haaland was absolutely ridiculous. He found him every single time, you know, and some of his passing range is ridiculous. But yeah, I think so that's unanimous then, isn't it? Apart from Lampard, so. Obviously.
Are we going 4-4-2?
Yeah.
I just think
we're talking the British elite league here, and to me, British football is based on the 4-4-2, like nostalgia vibes, you know. Like, yeah. We just gotta go with the 4-4-2.
Yeah.
I think
like a couple more like honourable mentions as well, and these are like more recent players as well. I think N'Golo Kante has to be mentioned for Chelsea. Back-to-back titles, Leicester, Chelsea. You know, they say 70% of the world is covered by water. The rest is covered by N'Golo Kante. Roy Keane as well, obviously, if we didn't mention him before.
And it was either Keane or Vieira for me.
Yeah. And another one as well, which, like, it might be too early for some to say, but I think
you
Rodri.
You know what I mean, aren't you? Yeah.
I think Rodri, because he's won the Ballon d'Or. Like, how many of those midfield players have won the Ballon d'Or? Yeah. Like, and he's been so good.
Maybe controversially, and maybe it's the fact that I don't particularly like City coming out here. Don't get me wrong, I know it's done on a calendar year, but if I was doing the Ballon d'Or and it was my vote only that mattered, I would have probably given it to Vinicius Junior over Rodri. But don't get me wrong, he is proving to... I mean, look at City this year, you know. He's out for the season and the diving off a cliff, you know?
Another honourable mention is David Silva.
Yeah.
People forget, I think, how good he actually was in his prime.
I think he got a throw in Yaya Toure as well. This is like a City loving, but Yaya Toure as well.
Just for a couple of crazy ones, right? And I realise it was stupid of me to say Premier League best 11, but if we're talking very, very short prime, like, and injury free prime, I was actually gonna, I was looking at like Jack Wilshere. Because just let me explain, right? If Jack, this is obviously an alternate reality here, but if Jack Wilshere never got the injuries that he got, I'm convinced he would have won 100 caps for England and like over 100 caps for England. And people forget that boy was a kid at 17 and he was the best midfielder on the park when he played Busquets, Iniesta and Xavi at the Nou Camp. You know, I just think when we're talking about natural raw talent, I really think Jack Wilshere could have had it all.
I love you saying that.
But obviously, injuries stopped that, unfortunately. But yeah, so go on then. We're going with Patrick Vieira and Kevin De Bruyne as our midfield two. The one thing I would say, if we had to play a game with this team right now, I'm a bit worried about Patrick doing all the defending because JT will obviously help him out at the back, but I think both of our fullbacks will want to go forward. I think Virgil van Dijk loves playing on the ball, so he could be anywhere. So I am a bit worried about our defensive capabilities, but it's all part of the fun. So wide midfielders now rather than wingers. I'll kick us off because I think this is going to be quite controversial, right? So for me, right midfielder is Mohamed Salah.
Yep.
And left midfielder, I have sneakily put Cristiano Ronaldo in there. Just because, and I know I'm going to get voted out of here, and that's completely fine because the argument is he had, you know, the peak of his career and the prime of his career elsewhere, and that's kind of what made him into the world beater he is today or was. But I do think in the years that he was in the Premier League the first time, not his second time around, of course, he was unplayable at times. You know, he was doing things with a football I didn't even know you could do with a football, you know. Like, I just think if we're talking great players that have played in the Premier League, you can't at least not give an honourable mention to Cristiano Ronaldo, at least.
It's a fair point. I've got Salah on the right. I just think 160-odd goals in 250 games as a winger is uncanny. And I don't think there's not many wingers that actually get them sort of numbers. Now, I know wingers play more as of strikers nowadays, but he's now, what, 32? And he's done it for 6-7 years, so I'm pretty sure he deserves to be in it. And on the left, I've got Henry.
Oh,
that's hard. I can't
give
it. Right. The only thing I will say here, so in fact, I will give it away. I'll have to change it on the fly. So Henry is in my team, but I put him as a striker.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose you've got two strikers, don't you? And I've got 4-3-3. Yeah. So
I'm the same as well. I've got Henry up front as well. So that's a bit of a spoiler, but.
So does that mean Henry has to go up front then? So Sam has to pick another left midfielder?
If I had to pick
Depends on my picks, though. And you boys might be surprised to hear that I actually don't have Mohamed Salah in my team at the moment.
This is
coming from someone who picked Van Dijk, is like a modern player at centre back as well. I absolutely adore him, and he's like my next pick after these two wingers. I've also got Cristiano Ronaldo. I think people forget as well, he won the Ballon d'Or at Man United as well the season before he joined Real Madrid, and he was ridiculous. And Salah, when he comes out of the Premier League, may end up replacing him. But I can't believe you guys didn't say Ryan Giggs.
He was second on my list.
And I know, you know, outside of football, he's a controversial character and stuff, but most Premier League titles, 13 Premier League titles won. I believe he was the first inducted in the official Hall of Fame as well, before he potentially got removed. You know, Premier League appearances as well, he's up there. Most Premier League assists, he's up there. I can't see a way of having the Premier League 11 without Ryan Giggs, but I think I might have been outvoted. So
I can see the thing is, it's a really difficult one, isn't it? Because Ryan Giggs was, you know, a phenom. But I just think, I don't know, maybe it is modern day attack, Sam. I don't know what you think, but I just think Mohamed Salah is a joke of a human being when it comes to football. Like, I've never seen him, like just some of the runs he used to make, and that, like, when Liverpool had the prime trio of Bobby, Mane and Salah, that I've never seen, like, an attacking front three like it. But maybe apart from Tevez, Rooney, Ronaldo. But I just think Mohamed Salah, to me, I would... And you know what? In fact, talking of putting my neck on the line, if he was to leave this summer, I would go as far as saying, in my personal opinion, I think Mohamed Salah is the greatest player to ever play in the Premier League.
Oh,
that's,
wow.
That's how highly I rate him. That's how, like, he is a joke. And I think what makes it more special and something that we should highlight, and sorry for Chelsea fans for mentioning this, but somebody at Chelsea's recruitment kicked De Bruyne out and kicked Mohamed Salah out, and they both made our combined, or are going to make our combined greatest 11 of Premier League ever.
Yeah.
You know, and surely that says a lot, you know, about a transformation of a player's career. And I just think, and even, I know this doesn't count towards the Premier League, but even, you know, he's carried Egypt to World Cup finals, as in not the final itself, but tournaments and stuff, you know. And I think in terms of an actual figure, I really struggle to walk past Mohamed Salah.
So I've actually got to pick another left winger then, haven't I? Because
I think so.
Salah's going to play on the right. Henry's gone up front. So I've got to pick a left winger that would
we've got two votes for Ronaldo. It depends on the other striker, doesn't it? Depends on the other striker for me and Aaron. If we both agree, then it's a debate over, like, maybe Ronaldo or Salah over whoever we pick. But if we go differently...
I think another honorable mention that I thought of was Eden Hazard as well.
Oh, yeah.
The man just glides. One of them players that you would pay money to watch. And I've said it on other podcasts that I do. There's not many of them players left. They just get the ball and glide past players, and you pay money to watch them, because football's, in my opinion, has become a bit robotic. Which is why I would personally put Eden Hazard as a rogue sort of shout.
So that left-hand side, is that's free, isn't it?
At the moment, I'd say.
This is fantasy booking, so I'm just going to throw something wild out there. Because Adam's made such a, like, impressive point about Ryan Giggs, can we not just, like, throw Ryan Giggs on the left?
Yeah, throw Ryan Giggs in there. I'm happy.
We can throw him. Yeah, well, we can do.
Genuinely, at the end, we'll have a discussion, but genuinely, I think this team would go on and, like, win, like, 20 Premier Leagues on the spin.
Right, should we get on to the strike? Should we get Omri out of the way, first of all?
Yes. So I'll go first. Wait, so are we at strikers already? Yeah, bloody hell.
Yeah.
We'll do a manager as well, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I think
one of two for a manager, to be fair, isn't it? Depending on your persuasion. Partnering Omri for me, and again, I think this should be pretty conclusive. I'll be shocked if it's not. It should be Wayne Rooney. I think you can obviously argue for Alan Shearer, if I'm being honest, you know, because of, you know, him being so far up the goals ranking and stuff. But maybe I am being rude to 90s football, but I do think, like it's the same sort of notion that people have about Pelé, isn't it? That most of his career goals came in America before America was a thing. And I do feel like that about the Premier League, like maybe 20, 30 years ago, a little bit. Like, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I just think the game is levels advanced and levels ahead of where that was back then.
Okay.
Interesting.
For me, Rooney did it in a bit of both of the eras, you know? And like, the thing is with Rooney as well, you have to remember the kid was, what, 17 coming through Everton, scored that screamer against Arsenal, and that's what, you know. And then he got a hat-trick on his debut for United, which was the Champions League game against Fenerbahce, I think, at 17 again, or he might have been 18 by that point. And I think of some huge goals, you know, in the Premier League over time. That sort of on the volley hit that he had out of frustration with the referee at Newcastle. You had the, you know, the famous bicycle kick in the derby. The halfway line goal for Everton when he went back to Everton. I just think there's so many moments with Rooney that it's kind of non-negotiable if I was doing this list on my own, but I might get outvoted here. I don't know.
I couldn't argue if you ended up with Rooney. I think Aguero was extremely close to my list, just mainly because I loved watching Aguero. But I've gone for Shearer purely because of 260 goals, which is 47 more than next highest, which was Kane.
Yeah, I've also got Alan Shearer as well. So this is going to be really interesting now, because obviously we've got Thierry Henry in there. But yeah, I'm it's similar to Giggs in that I don't think, for me personally, I wouldn't be comfortable making an all-time Premier League greatest 11 without having the greatest goal scorer in there. And I get what Aaron's saying as well, and I can see that side to it. And Wayne Rooney's very, very close to my team as well. But Alan Shearer for me, I genuinely don't know if anyone's ever going to get that goal tally. And Harry Kane's the closest as well, and he deserves a mention as well. But Alan Shearer, 260 Premier League goals, ridiculous. And also,
I'll be honest. I mean, it depends what he decides to do with his career. But I think if Erling Haaland stays 4 or 5 more years with Manchester City, he will break that record quite comfortably. And the only reason he's probably not in that conversation yet is because he needs a few more years in the league.
Yeah.
But Erling Haaland is that good that he could well on another year be in this conversation, really. But just the only thing I will say, and maybe this is a redundant argument, but you know me, I like an argument, so I'm going to bring it. If I think you could put Wayne Rooney in that Newcastle side, and he would score all the chances. Well, maybe not all the chances, that's probably unfair. But he would score similar amount of goals that Alan Shearer did for Newcastle back then. But I don't think you could put Alan Shearer in that United side and him have the same sort of impact.
We famously almost did, didn't he? So Alex Ferguson wanted to sign him. So that would have been an interesting thing to see, actually. But yeah, it's very, very close. It really depends what you value, to be honest.
Yeah,
it's also quite interesting as well, because for an honourable shout, and without trying to be too Brexit means Brexit, we're talking at the English elite level here, and we're not prepared to put the two probably greatest English strikers ever in the conversation or in the team, because Harry Kane could probably be up there as well, if I'm being honest, you know?
He's definitely in the conversation. Yeah.
So yeah, I I'm going to get outvoted because this is a democracy. But I think a Premier League all-time 11 without Wayne Rooney at the striker just doesn't feel right for me.
Shift Henry to the left, and we can have Rooney.
Yeah.
but then Ryan Giggs. What does Ryan Giggs do?
Yeah, we've also got Salah and Ronaldo as well. So that front three, I think we've all got Henry, but we've kind of got to choose two between the others as well.
Yeah. But listen, the way it works is two votes beat one, so Alan Shearer goes in.
Alan Shearer, Henry on the left, then, are we saying? Because then where does Ryan Giggs go?
On the front two, you mean?
So have we got Salah on the right?
Adam, are you playing a front two?
Yes, I am, yeah.
We need a front two then, right? But it's Omri and Shearer.
Oh yes, yes. So we could technically have all of them then.
No, so it'd be Salah on the right, Omri and Shearer up front, and who did we say on the left?
Giggsy. Okay. So Ronaldo misses out then.
So, but Ronaldo was in two of our. Was it? I'm so.
Yeah,
confused.
But a lot of them are in two of our teams. That's the problem. I think that's fine. Salah, Giggs, Henry, Shearer.
Ronaldo's in two of ours, and only Ryan Giggs was in Sam's, and Ronaldo gets in on the left. No,
Giggs was in mine. Yeah, Giggs was in mine.
Was Giggs on the opposite side in yours?
So I didn't have Salah, but you guys had Salah. So we're going to go Salah, Giggs. We'll go Salah, Giggs, Henry, Shearer, just to avoid confusion. And Ronaldo unfortunately misses out.
No Premier League 11 without Ronaldo, Rooney, what the heck? We're going to have United fans burning pitchforks at us.
got two Liverpool players in there as well, Salah and Van Dijk.
they've won one Premier League, as it's known. You know, it's
mad. But this is what we want. This is what we want.
Yeah.
Tell us how wrong we are in the comment section, whatever.
Yeah. But finishing us off then, as manager shouts, I think there's one of two, isn't there? I think you could even go modern day and it's got to be Pep Guardiola, or you go probably one of the greatest, well, probably the greatest British manager ever, in my opinion, in Sir Alex Ferguson. And
I'm going to say Pep, purely because of the way he's revolutionised football.
Yes, and well, this is what I was just about to say. I would want this team that we've created to play the Pep brand of football.
Oh, so whatever I say, it's out of vain. I had Sir Alex just because, you know, he has won the most Premier League titles, sort of the foundation of the Premier League, and Guardiola, like, is absolutely incredible as well. Absolutely incredible. It's very flip of a coin that. But I'd be happy to be outvoted and put Guardiola in as well, guys. Like, either of them. I don't think there's a debate outside those two. Obviously, you can throw in like Wenger as an Arsenal fan, Jose Mourinho, even Klopp as well. But I think those two stand above the rest.
I mean,
of them.
I love Jurgen Klopp, but I don't think we can put Jurgen Klopp in there considering he won one. But yeah, look. I'd be happy to go either, but I think I don't know whether I'm going to get fried in the comments now, Sam, or not. But like, I just feel like I want sexy football. You know, I'm not talking about Ruud Gullit either. Like, I want Guardiola managing this team personally.
Sir Alex's United team's got 100 points. I know he's won 13 titles compared to Pep's 6, but.
True.
You see lower league clubs now trying to copy Pep's inverted fullbacks sort of passing system, where Sir Alex, while he got the best out of every single player he had, didn't really have that effect on football.
And if you want to set this podcast alight with controversy, the one thing I will say is I think Sir Alex is a very, very smart man, because I actually think he started the decline of United a little bit. Because he left at the moment, knowing Rio legs were gone, knowing they were going to left with Johnny Evans, knowing that they were left with Phil Jones, knowing that they were left with Tom Cleverley. The list goes on, you know what I mean? I think he left at the perfect time for him, but the worst time possible for United as a football club.
100%.
Yeah. I think, to be fair as well, looking at the team that we've created, we have got a nice little mix of, you know, some present day guys, but also like those nostalgic picks as well. I think we have got a nice little blend there, so hopefully most people will be happy with it, but obviously there are some that are literally a flip of a coin, and it kind of depends what kind of views you have. But yeah, I think we've created a nice team there.
Yeah, you're right. So Sam, do you want to do us the honours of doing the team back to front from goalie to the end, just for the audience and the viewers to recap?
So the team we had was a 4-4-2. It was Petr Cech in goal, Gary Neville at right back, John Terry and Virgil van Dijk as centre backs, Ashley Cole as the left back, two central midfielders were Patrick Vieira and Kevin De Bruyne. Right midfielder was Mohamed Salah, left midfielder was Ryan Giggs, and the two strikers were Alan Shearer and Thierry Henry.
Well, just for a little bit of a finish, if that team was in the Premier League nowadays, what point total do you think it finishes with? Because I'm not going to lie, I think that team would win the league currently.
I assume we're talking about players in their prime, because a 50-year-old Alan Shearer would do well.
50-year-old men to turn up. We're not doing Masters football, Adam.
Probably 50-year-old Shearer would be better than some of the crap that's in the Premier League still nowadays.
Yeah.
But yeah, what sort of point? I reckon they'd get at least high-end 80s, early 90s points.
They should get late 90s, I would go, if they're all in their prime.
I think with Guardiola managing them as well, I think you could argue 100 points. Like, because the system as well, like, Guardiola would find a system to fit all of those players to play at the best of their ability. So I think, you know, I think you could say 100 points. I think they could push that Centurions team.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. But that brings us to the end of this podcast. And it's funny, though, because this isn't the end of the Premier League-based discussion, because we have a discussion coming up about the potential best Premier League side, like one-off team of all time. And the main brux of that discussion will be Arsenal's Invincibles versus Manchester City Centurions. So make sure you stay tuned for that. And yeah, we've been the Untitled Football Podcast. This has been The Bet. And until next time, we'll see you soon.